The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content is the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
All right, before we get Comics Brew started tonight, I have a weird question for everybody. Is everybody ready for this weird
sure.
question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Can I tape your thumbs to the palms of your hand? Are you okay with that? I mean, is it just something that I can do and you guys will just say okay to?
Yeah, let's do it.
Depends. Are you going to take a video of it?
I might. I might actually use some video recording.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's happening. Fine.
We're going to trust you. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. In about 2 months, this will mean something.
My fingers are going to be taped for 2 months.
Welcome back to another episode of Comics Brew. I'm Josh.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Adam.
I'm Mark.
I'm Lisa.
And Georgetown in the house again. Woo!
Yay.
Thank you.
Always love it when Georgetown comes through. How's the summer been treating you, Miss Hates the Sun, or the Sun is Trying to Kill Me?
It's all right. Mostly I've been inside all the time. So it's
trying to kill all of us.
Well, it's true.
No, me and the Sun are bros.
Yeah?
I haven't burned it all. I just turned a nice copper.
So wait, who else doesn't have AC in their car?
Oh, just this guy. New car, doesn't have AC.
You too?
Yeah.
It's just us two, I guess. Driving home is murder.
I've got the lovely AC.
I got a sunroof, though, so I open that up. Open up one of the windows. I get a nice good cross breeze going.
Oh, man, that sounds heavenly.
It's quite nice.
I usually have to, like, right after I get off work, open all the doors in my car and just watch the heat wave, like, shimmer.
Oh, I'll have to do that, too, yeah. If you leave them cracked, it doesn't get as bad in there.
The windows cracked. I work in Tukwila.
Just like, no, I mean just like a little bit and park right out front, you'd be golden.
Yeah, you work with no trees.
I work in South Park and I still do that with my car.
Yeah.
Do you meet Kenny a lot and tell him he's poor?
No, I run him over though.
Every day.
Yeah. There he is again.
Have you ever seen how they explained Kenny's reincarnation? Yeah, his mom has a new fucking fetus every night.
I remember that. She's in that cult or whatever.
Yeah.
That was in that, the superhero three-parter.
Yeah, the superhero. Yeah. It was Mysterion. Yeah. What about you, Mark? How's summer treating you?
It's okay.
Yeah?
It's good. I don't know.
It's fucking summer. Hot. Man, I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. Do you ever get sunburns right here on the top of your head?
Yes.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah.
Ouch, man. That's gotta suck. Hey. Have you ever peeled your scalp and then seen your hair sticking through the dead skin?
Gross. That's nasty.
No?
I haven't done this, no.
Oh, man. I've been
Don't expect it that much?
I had a second-degree burn down my leg, and when I peeled the skin up, like, there were little holes like Swiss cheese where the hair follicles were.
Then you ate it because you're gross.
No. God, it hurt, dude. Second-degree burns, they suck. I hate the sun, too. And
I mean, I'm probably
going to
get skin cancer because I never use any protection, and I'll just walk around in the sun all damn day long not giving a fuck. But I don't burn. It's nice.
So, as it's a hot beer, or a hot fuck, as it's a hot...
It's quite cool, actually.
God damn it.
It's a good hot beer.
As it's a hot day,
they brought us some special hot beers designed to be drink.
What? As it's a hot day, what cool beers did you guys bring us today?
Before you answer that, is there a beer that's meant to be served warmer for like the winter months? Like, I know stouts and porters are all right at room temp, but anything that's actually like lightly heated, I can see
like a hot toddy or something.
Yeah, but that's rum and water and toddy mix. I mean, I guess maybe a cider with some cinnamon sticks.
Nah, not that I know of.
No,
honestly.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Good question.
I don't think I would drink it if there was.
Yeah, if it was warm.
You know, something specially brewed.
Wait, the only hot alcohol drink I could think of that I would drink is like
a toddy.
Pouring something into hot chocolate.
Oh, have you ever not had a hot buttered rum before?
A hot buttered rum. Okay, there we go. Two things.
Okay. What about
coffee and Bailey's?
Yeah. Coffee and whiskey. What are you talking about?
That too. That works fine.
But I guess there's a lot of hot alcohol.
but apparently no beer.
Hot alcohol. So hot right now. But what'd you bring us?
So the one I'm drinking right now is called Big Trouble.
Big Thunder, I like to call it.
Big Thunder, you like to call it, yep.
I totally just got the Big Trouble in Little China reference, by the way.
Because it's an Asian lager.
Yeah.
Yep.
brewed by their own Jack Burton, if I'm not mistaken.
Our version of Jack Burton.
Yeah.
Our Asian version.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lager. It's pretty basic. It's really light. There's a lot of flaked rice adjunct in it to give it super light. It's
pale yellow. It reminds me of, like, a rice wine more than anything.
Well, it sounds pretty good.
It's good. Yeah. I feel like I could also drink, like, 1,000 of these during the summer and, like, not feel like I get bogged down all full and...
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, reverse question then. Is there a beer that's preferable during, like, a beer style that's better when it's hot?
Cold?
No, when it's hot outside, dick shit.
Yeah, cold beer.
I hate you.
I would say this guy here is a pretty good one when it's cold, but Kolsch style beer, I really like when it's hot out.
Kolsch?
I've only ever had one Kolsch. I've never had a Kolsch before. It kind of turned me off to him because it was a the Rogue Honey Kolsch that was in the opaque bottle, and that's kind of when we learned to never drink those.
That wasn't the only ones we learned that on.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Sriracha's another one.
Well, yeah, it's
Voodoo
gross.
Donuts, they're usually purple.
The
or
double
pink.
Chocolate is like the only tolerable one.
Yeah, but that's still, you're just drinking brownie mix.
Yeah. Which is it's not terrible.
I mean, yeah, it's not terrible, sure. So, what about like a Kolsch, a Pilsner, or a Pilsner. Lager? Is that the lighter beers?
Rogers Pilsner would be a good one. Yep.
I went to Winco last night because I had like $20 burning a hole in my pocket, and I was like, I'm gonna buy some chicken, and I'm gonna see if they've got some Georgetown in the can. Nope, they had just sold out. Like you could see where the label was like, no, we're not here anymore.
Oh.
It sucked. Aww. But that's not all you brought us. I'm drinking Fruit Vendor.
Yeah, that's also what I have. That's pretty good.
I like it. It's an IPA, and it's fruity.
I actually like an IPA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You say like it was a couple, the bro. Fruit Vendor was a double IPA?
Yeah. So it's I believe it's 8%. I don't know. It might be plus or minus a little bit on that.
Squiggly line, 8%.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know what those are called.
It's about.
A tilde?
Yeah. A tilde, yes.
There it is.
And then over there, you've got one we haven't tried yet, and it's Lucy in the Sky.
Yep. So we did a twist on our Lucille. So we swapped out the... I always forget which ones. Which malt?
I think we swapped... We took out the caramel malt to make... And put a lighter malt in it to give it
Munich.
Lighter alcohol, lighter color.
I'm going to try that one next.
Yeah. Of the three we've got here, which one do you guys prefer?
Lucy in the Sky for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good.
That's the one I was going to try next, too.
I definitely want to try that first one.
Oh,
that's what I'm drinking Thunder. Right now. Highly recommend it. It's super tasty.
Well, yeah, the Fruit Vendor is pretty good.
I like
good.
The Big Trouble.
So, can you find any of these in stores? Are these? No.
No, only at the brewery right now.
But or here at the studio.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
There you go.
But there is beer here in the studio you can buy in the store.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All the canned stuff. I've seen it fly off of shelves at like Total Wine and stuff.
Never seen it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have. Last week.
Oh, I did see it there. That's right. Other than that, I've never seen it, but I don't. I feel like it's not that I've never seen it because places aren't carrying it. It's just because no place has it, you know? Except for, the Total Wine, they had an end cap display of just all your canned stuff.
Yep.
That stuff is so good. They sell it warm though, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Those bitches.
Yeah, we're not excited about that.
They only have so much cooler space.
Yeah,
but, and some of it should go to Georgetown.
Them and one Winco is where I found Georgetown in a can. Where is the best place to go other than Total Wine to find it around here?
So specialty bottle shops like Chuck's Hop Shop. I think he's got two locations. I forget exactly where they are. That's a good spot to go.
What about like BevMo?
BevMo probably has it. I know
there's that new one in Auburn, Craft Beer. Do they have it?
I don't know. That's
and they don't
question.
Even spell craft all the way. That's CRFT.
I think it's a really tiny.
Is it CRFT or KRFT?
I think it's CRFT.
Is it okay?
Craft. It's got a small selection, but it's pretty good because they also have a little. It looks like they actually have a bar. Like it's a bar.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, you can go sit down and order a pint. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you can order a pint. I think they were doing small tasters. All right. But either way, it's a weird little place, but I kind of like it.
Yeah. Right on. Well, before we pivot away from all things Georgetown, I heard there was like a explosion that you guys had to go through a couple weeks ago or a month ago.
We did. You know, actually, what's funny about that, you knew about it before I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, I saw it on social media, and I texted you, and I was like, hey, I know it's like 12:30 in the morning, and you're probably asleep and mad at me for texting you right now, but is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I didn't understand why you're sending me that text.
My bad.
That's okay.
So until like the next day, get to work.
It just sounds super creepy, like random text in the middle of the night. Are you okay?
I'm pretty sure I said, saw there was an explosion. Is everything all right?
Right now? Question mark? Like,
wow, Josh, so, you really come across as a creeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you did last week.
Are you okay? Yeah. Because I'm looking through your window and you seem a little distraught.
I got the fucking the Animal House thing where I
never seen
no,
it.
No?
Once a millennia ago, don't remember anything from that movie.
You've been alive for 2,000 years?
Yes.
You liar.
I mean,
although I have seen two millennia, just like all of us.
Prove
in this room
me
have.
Wrong.
No, we've seen two millennia.
No, that I haven't been alive for 2,000 years.
I'm gonna go talk to your dad.
He's been alive for 4,000.
Yeah.
Special race of human. We're like.
So what happened though?
No.
So.
They were our slaves.
Jesus.
We had a CO2 tank explode.
Oh shit!
And it was a big one. It's about 6 feet tall, about 3 feet around.
It's a water heater.
Yeah.
It's the size of a standard like 1950s to 1980s water heater.
Yep.
And it blew it. Blew hard.
Did it blow like out or into the building?
Over.
Okay. Well, that's probably the safest way it could have gone, right?
It was out on the outside of the building because that's the safer spot to have these types of things.
Okay.
And we
knew
that.
Note to self.
Yeah.
Yeah. It blew, like, it had a little covering over the top of it, blew a hole through that. Over the building, we have a fairly large building. And then over, because there's train tracks behind our building.
Whoa.
A few tracks over.
Like
and it
poof.
Was just squashed. So we got really, really lucky there wasn't anybody around it. There wasn't anybody where it fell. Nobody got hurt.
Oh, that's amazing. That's pretty lucky. That's pretty wonderful.
Well, it was late at night, too,
did
right?
Did anybody... I was just going to ask if anybody saw it, because that would have been pretty sweet to see.
I'm pretty sure people heard it.
Just the top, or was it the whole can that shot?
The whole can. So the bottom of it blew off.
Oh, and then it just was a rocket.
Yeah.
I was expecting, like, the top, like, the nozzle at the top, it would have been what broke.
It was the whole top of it. So all of it but the very bottom piece.
Oh, wow.
Launched.
Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
no,
exciting.
Yeah.
Three of our brewers were there, and one of the brewers saw it happen. And I think mostly the sound is what scared her, because it was super loud.
For
oh, sure.
Sure,
yeah.
Well, you ever heard, like,
no.
Like a vacuum? Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm just thinking, like gas trucks or any big-ass, like, tanker truck that's, like, pressurized like that. If they implode or explode, it's just this crazy loud noise. I imagine being right there would be just...
deafening.
Yeah, yeah. Frightening as fuck.
Yeah.
It's frightening when a tire pops, dude.
Yeah.
So did you guys... Yeah, did you
Is
guys happen
it?
To catch it on, like, security cameras?
It blew up if you hit the pause or the play.
So it's CO2 just missed everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So did any of your CCTV actually catch the explosion?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's the brewer who witnessed it. That's his video he took with his phone. That
Holy shit. Damn.
Passing around. Yeah.
I'm sure that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All that is just the fucking, the mist and the gas just going.
Yeah.
Because So the tank, does it have a generator on it that pulls CO2 out, or do you guys get CO2 filled every once in a while?
We get a truck that comes up and fills
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Gotcha.
But you could put a generator in one of those tanks and just have it fill?
There's certain CO2 tanks that if they're big enough and they're used enough, they have a...
An autofill, if you
will?
Yeah,
NASA probably has a bunch of them.
Oh, I'm sure they're not the only ones.
We're not that fancy.
Georgetown's fancy. I don't know.
They're not shooting rockets into space. They're trying to shoot cans into space.
Apparently
but...
we did, yeah.
You know,
the Georgetown Space Program.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I imagine this sort of thing happens at bigger breweries a lot, too. Like, bigger, like, nationwide breweries and stuff. Like, with CO2 tanks going off.
I mean, hopefully not.
I know. Before we started, we watched the end of the first episode of Season 3 of Rick and Morty. It's not out yet, but we have a copy of the stream.
Can't you watch it on Adult Swim?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
it is
out.
So,
it's out digitally.
Well, I was wondering if you guys recognized Rick and Morty. How much of it have you seen?
Season one, I think.
Yeah. Season one?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, the Rick dance and stuff, that's where it ends?
Whatever. It is my religion.
The last one we saw, he got taken away.
I don't remember.
Oh, that's the end of season two.
End of season two.
Yeah, maybe we saw that then.
Yeah, we saw season one, season two.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So season three picks up right after that, after he's in prison.
Yeah.
Like, what are you here for? And he goes, everything. And Hurt plays, and you're just like, why, cartoon? Why are you doing this to me?
Because Dan Harmon just really likes to be brutal.
Yeah, exactly. What do you guys think of Rick and Morty?
I love it.
Three weeks.
Yeah, it's here in July 30th, and we're going to get to see that episode again.
Nice. You think they'll do a two-part?
They might.
I honestly don't even know if that is the first episode of season three.
No, it is.
It has to be.
There's no way it's not.
I mean, they could have done it as a filler episode.
I mean, it literally follows off the season two finale.
And yeah, he introduces the whole next season at the end of it. He's like, this is our darkest season ever, Morty.
Could be, you know, the only episode in season 2.5.
Let's put some cash on it. $5.
I'll double that. $10 to your five.
I'm not throwing out $15 a possible theory.
You pay me five, you pay him five, and you get ten.
It's a possible theory.
I'm not sure that math checks out. Either way.
Coin.
Either way.
I asked them what they thought of Rick and Morty. Have you guys enjoyed the show so far? Have you been looking forward to season three?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got any favorites or any favorite moments?
I don't know.
Hands down, one of my favorites is Rick Potion number 9.
Oh, that's
where everyone gets Cronenberg. Everyone gets Cronenberged, and it's because Morty wants to get with the fucking the chick Jessica.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like he gives him that Vol formula.
Oh yeah.
And it just, I hope they don't have the flu.
Could I try the
Big Trouble?
Yes, Big Trouble.
Yeah, it's not empty yet.
Well, I mean, I'm good.
I'll get it to you.
Because really, that sounds good. I want to try that.
One thing we probably should mention before we get too far into anything else. Tyler and I saw Spider-Man. Anybody else see Spider-Man?
Yep.
All right, we'll keep it quiet. For those in the room.
Unfortunately. You guys should go see it. It's very good.
I do want to see it, yeah.
I do as well.
It's probably the most solid villain next to, like, Loki and Kingpin. He's up there. It's cool to see Michael Keaton. It's cool to see Michael Keaton go from being a hero to being a villain.
Well, you live long enough.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that quote with his face on it everywhere.
Last movie I know he was in was...
Birdman.
Yeah.
Do you know he got his start as a part of the Mary Tyler Moore show as, like, a variety, like, jokester?
Really?
Yeah, like, back in the early 70s or something like that. I don't remember exactly when.
Was unaware of that.
What's next? What's the next movie coming out?
Thor.
There's not one next month?
No.
Oh, August is Defenders.
Oh shit!
Oh shit! Really?
And then the beginning of September is Inhumans.
And then Punisher in November.
And October is something. October is Justice League, isn't it? Or is that November?
What a time to be alive! Got nerd shit every month.
Lucy in the Sky is good.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's pretty tasty. Stuff.
Well, Tyler, where else do you want to go on this adventure of yours?
So there really actually wasn't that much shit that came out this week, except for random little tidbits of stuff that Josh, you should be excited about. Did you
blow me away?
DC animated movie is?
Gotham by Gaslight. Gotham by Gaslight. Yeah.
Gotham by Gaslight. Did you ever read it?
No. So Harley Quinn and Batman came out. It's either on its way out soon or it came out already.
It's coming out in late August.
Okay, so on the back of the cover, it teases what's next. There's a featurette and a trailer of Gotham by Gaslight, and it's Batman as steampunk.
Which is just weird to me that this movie, Batman and Harley Quinn, is over a month away, and already there's like, here's the box art with all the details and everything, and now we know what's coming.
They do that all
the
time.
Yeah. But, you know, I think this might be the... They didn't do a Red Sun animated.
There's Sky over there, and there's Fruit Vendor here, and what? They did not do a Red Sun.
Yeah, no.
But they should.
Mark Millar has said that they've been wanting to adapt it forever.
Well, I'm trying to think. Have they done an Elseworlds animated movie?
Gotham Knight, some of it's Elseworlds.
Well, is that the one that was...
I mean, if you think that Superman... What is it? All-Star Superman's Elseworlds, then yeah.
I mean, not really. Because Elseworlds are usually things like this. Like, take the character, put them in a Victorian, or like Batman gets Green Lantern ring or Superman crashes in Gotham kind of thing.
Did you ever read that one?
No, I didn't. That one's good. That's one I wanted to read. I did read the Batman
gets Kingpin, Green Lantern. Kingpin becomes the Joker. Or not Kingpin. Lex Luthor becomes the Joker.
Oh, well, of course. But yeah, no, I'm actually so for Gotham by Gaslight. I think that'd be a pretty sweet little animated movie.
I've never read it.
It's good. You should read it. It's quick, too. Good,
yeah. it's an old style Elseworlds where they're really quick.
Yeah. Oh, okay, like three.
Almost one and done.
Oh, okay. Like it's one of their prestige comics.
It's about as long as the one to where Superman lands on Wayne Manor. As far as length of the book, it's pretty short.
Oh, and also this Big Trouble is incredible.
Yeah, that Big Trouble is super good.
Is there a...
It looks like grape juice. Like
white grape juice?
Yeah, it looks like white grape juice.
It does, yeah.
I see that.
I like
Or ginger ale. From here, at least it looks like a glass of ginger ale.
Yeah.
That too, but his is better.
Yes.
Because he said
this
it.
Is,
That's what that means. That too.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's fine.
Well, then...
Ginger ale is the correct answer, though. It's fine.
Whatever. I guess
Charles lived with Tyler long enough. I know when he thinks I'm wrong.
All the time.
It's not like he hides it.
Not even when he tries to.
It does look like ginger ale. Just, whatever. Anyways, another random thing. So Sean Murphy was teasing something all week.
Oh, man.
For those that don't know, who is Sean Murphy?
Sean Murphy drew, was it American Vampire? Did he do that? Yeah, and he also did...
No, that's Raphael Albuquerque.
That's right. He did...
Sean Murphy did...
What was that one with he did with Scott Snyder, though? The Wake.
The Wake,
He did The Wake. He did Tokyo Ghost. The one that Chris wanted to like and didn't.
Yeah, he was real... I remember him being very sad that he didn't like that.
He's stoked for it. I'll bring it up for Lisa and Mark to show some of the art, but he's a very stylized artist for comics, but he does some great stuff.
I'm pretty sure he does, I think he did Fear Agent.
Yeah, no, that's Tony Moore.
Oh, you're right. Fuck.
Tony Moore's the guy who first worked on Walking Dead before Robert Kirkman and him had a tiff.
Ah, I see.
So here's
Chrononauts. That's what I was thinking. It was relatively recently, but anyways, Sean Murphy. He's been teasing something all week that has Batman characters.
And yeah, he's been throwing out little sketches and stuff he's done with just different Batman characters,
like in progress art things. Pretty good little stuff.
Oh, that was so sad. Did it go behind the couch?
No, just behind the table. I'll get it after the show.
Okay, that's so sad.
Can't use it now anyway. So
poor old guy. Is it dead?
No, I mean, we're in the middle of a show, and people are in here that don't smoke.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I didn't know what you were doing. I thought it was your phone.
No, oh, no, it was my vaporizer.
Oh, shit, that's a Back to the Future scene. I didn't know that. And Dick Tracy, and... That's cool. Shit, dude. I showed them, the best thing he's ever done. It's all different...
Oh, yeah.
It's all different movies and shit.
Pass that down. I wants to see. Because I honestly am unfamiliar with this guy.
You'd recognize him. He's one of those artists that, you have seen his art.
Whether I knew him or not.
You may not necessarily know exactly who he is.
Oh, he did Cowboy Bebop?
No. That's a
art director on Cowboy Bebop. Yep, that's him.
Oh, it's an homage thing.
Yeah, I get that now. Literally, the first thing I saw was just Spike standing there, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, but then you're like, oh, he also did Back to the Future?
And then I was like, wait, no, he didn't.
Especially Dick Tracy.
Han Solo standing on top of a floating cop car. I realize that's not a thing. So.
But yeah, what he's been teasing is basically, what is it called, Batman White?
Batman White Knight.
Yeah. So, you know, Batman's always called the Dark Knight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or so the White Knight. Knight is, it's the, everything's opposite. Joker is going to be the Batman, and Bruce Wayne is going to be the Joker.
He's not going to be the Batman.
He's totally going to be the Batman.
No, he's, very specifically, it's just the Joker is the good guy. He's still the Joker, and Batman is less of, he's not a hero, he is more of like, basically a
straight
terrorist in the city.
Anarchist, yeah.
Murphy's been talking a lot of stuff that sounds actually really interesting, because he brings up a lot of about how Batman sort of straddles this line between, he's a vigilante,
and
he's crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
He says the line Batman rides between is a noble vigilante and overzealous oppressor. And that line kind of shifts as, society progresses. Everybody kind of, every decade or so, Batman's a little different. And
for a while, because he was just the Dark Knight detective. He wasn't like...
Yeah, and it constantly shifts.
And it wasn't until Frank Miller made him that he became like...
God?
The God is Morrison.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The modern idea of Batman. But
that shit needs to stop.
The 66 Batman made him goofy and campy.
Yeah.
The early 1930s and 40s and 50s Batman, he was very much a social vigilante, but he was
World's greatest detective.
Yeah, that's Denny O'Neil and... Neil Adams. That's yep. those. That's those two. That's where Ra's al Ghul comes from. Yeah. That's where Jason Todd came from.
But so this new little—it's an 8-issue miniseries called just Batman White Knight.
It's gonna be good.
And but it basically stars the Joker as the hero, the protector of Gotham. And
we want to do this as a show review.
Oh, I'm gonna review.
I mean, I would do that too, though. I think all of us are gonna read it,
so we might as well.
Yeah, maybe. This isn't an event, though. But yeah, it's just a
mini series. But the thing I thought was really interesting is, so he's talking about Batman changes a little bit, but the Joker. He says we know the Joker's a genius. We know he's relentless, and we know he can play the crowd. So why not make him a politician? And he talks about how Frank Miller modeled the Joker after David Bowie. Chris Nolan showed him as like a controlled sociopath. He says, "I see the Joker as Don Draper."
Really?
So, who's Don Draper?
Madman.
Never.
Think of very influential, an ad man in super confident Adman.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's
Tony Stark without the military background.
Tony Stark is a salesman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's always
he's also not a genius, but he's
I get what you're saying.
He's inspired. Let's say that.
There's always been sort of the background thing in a lot of Batman adaptations that his dad was trying to help the city out financially, or like in the background, it's like helping to economically help the city.
Like a stimulus stuff in lieu of Carmine Falcone and stuff like that.
And Batman's taking more, I'm going to punch people in the face.
Sure. A little direct approach.
This is a Joker who's going to take like the Thomas Wayne approach.
Oh, okay. With guns and kill people?
Not that Thomas
like
Wayne.
Like philanthropist?
Not the Flashpoint
philanthropist,
Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
Like a philanthropist.
Yeah, it just sounds really interesting. This is going to drop in October 2014. So, look forward to that.
2014?
Jesus Christ, sorry. October 4th, 2017.
I was like, Tyler, this
hang
news
on,
is
June.
Old.
It's in the past. I need time machines. I haven't read yet.
There's a lot of numbers on the page, and I mixed them up.
We're not very timely people, but damn, that's timely.
That's, Tyler, that's...
Have you guys ever read any or seen any different versions of heroes or what ifs or stuff like that? Like, there's probably the most known one is Superman Red Son, where his rocket lands in Russia,
Soviet Russia,
as opposed to landing in Kansas.
12 hours.
I'm gonna
late.
Have to get you that comic. It's amazing.
Yeah, sounds good.
It's my favorite Superman comic. It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, because like he grows up under Stalin and he becomes like this despot.
Oh,
and when Stalin dies, Superman becomes like the leader of the USSR.
He doesn't become a despot. He just becomes like a tool of the state.
Yeah, but after Stalin dies, he becomes the leader of the state.
Yeah, but
and then Luthor and the Green Lantern Corps arise to stop him. And Batman is a Russian terrorist. Guy Fawkes, like remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he tries to do that in Russia, and he's got like the. He's got the bat cowl on, but he's wearing one of those Russian hats with the ear flaps and the
and
furry.
Like that, and then awesome. His cowl ears come out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Like the Green Lantern Corps is, instead of it being that sleek, just like prim and proper Green Lantern,
they
it's like
pilot
guys
suits,
in flight
don't they?
Jackets.
Yeah.
With like the leather caps and the mask thing, and it's still Hal Jordan and stuff. But it's such a the thing
Wonder
I like about
Woman
Elseworlds
is actually American.
Huh?
Wonder Woman is actually American in that book. Like, she's from
America. And Bizarro is the answer to Superman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, the American answer to Superman. Kind of like the space program.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that kind of war. Or like
so
that
it's
kind
like
of,
the Superman program.
Yeah.
Or the Superman race, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of it being the race to the moon, it's the race to create, like, an answer to Superman.
Series.
It's amazing, right?
Huh.
There's
it's
another
relatively
one.
Relatively short. It's like one thick trade.
That's
the whole book.
Four issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a.
Isn't even. I thought it was three.
It's four issues. Yeah.
I thought it was five.
Nobody knows. It's very short, though.
There's a what if during Civil War where Spider-Man decides to start killing people.
Oh yeah, was
and
that
he,
is that when that came out?
Yeah,
Civil
it's
War?
What if Civil
that.
War.
Oh, it's real good.
It's real good because he joins Wolverine and all of the assassins in the X-Men.
Oh, he becomes part of X-Force?
No,
they don't
remake
X-Force.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they like
it's not even like a team. It's really just
it's
Wolverine,
just Wolverine and Spider-Man.
Out.
Yeah,
oh, just going out and doing wet work
and just killing people. It's great because like he loses that. The thing about Spider-Man that's awesome is that like he's got that moral fiber that like it's like Superman's. It's like this or that,
mm-hmm.
and Spider-Man's is always like no, never kill. Superman's is Batman's the same thing. There's a switch that gets triggered in Peter, and he just like nope, I'm done. He snaps people's necks. And Spider-Man would be like one of the most lethal assassins ever, especially because he's got like precognition.
It followed out of actually in like an established story, like something that actually happened where he managed to save somebody on like some weird trip to Russia, and in the what if it was like she died, and if he had killed a person, she would still be alive.
Yeah.
So he literally, like, because his inability to act caused another person's
death. It was sort of like the Uncle Ben thing. He didn't stop the guy. The guy went on to kill
Ben.
He didn't kill this person. The person went, because of that.
Killed that woman or whatever it was. Like, it was either, like, a mother or, like, a love interest. I really liked
it, because it kind of was a similar sort of thing. Like, how he became Spider-Man was very similar to, in this story, how he started crossing that line. Either way, it was a really great story. I'm kind of sad I didn't read it at the time. Yeah. I didn't know it was during Civil War. I thought it was a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, actually. It's What If Civil War.
Oh. Well,
are we all current on American Gods in here?
No, I am not.
You what? Are?
How are you?
I am, yes.
I know.
Yes.
Earmuffs.
I'm just going to go leave and go smoke. I'll be right back.
Okay, yeah.
Mark's not.
Mark's
not. Oh,
okay. Oh, all right. Well, never mind. I'm not going anywhere.
We can talk about it. How far is everyone? How
done.
I'm not.
I'm done.
Not even.
Last episode I saw,
you
I
had two episodes left.
I fell asleep at the beginning of the Matt Seven. Sweeney episode.
He has two episodes left.
He's got a little bit to go, yeah. What about you?
I got episode one done.
Oh, okay.
But I can leave the room or you guys. You don't need to leave.
It just depends on if you want spoilers or not.
I'm okay.
You're fine with spoilers?
Yeah. All right, so if we get into this, then I am leaving.
Okay. Sorry, buddy.
No, that's totally fine.
Well, Adam, let me put it this way. You watched six episodes of it, and how much plot actually happened?
I mean, I know it's not a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, honestly, I've read the book like 3.5-4 times.
You know everything.
I know it's going to happen, but still.
Yeah, no, I got you. Mm-hmm. So, I guess that's a good point. For those of you who haven't caught up on American Gods heretofore, sorry.
But also, because this is related to comics, because there's some comic of it coming out. The Dark Horse comic is still really good.
Is great.
I've been reading that every time it comes out. It is still really solid.
It starts with Shadow in Prison.
It's a much more faithful adaptation.
And it really does give you like a visualization of what you expected.
Yeah.
Like when Shadow's talking about the storm on the horizon while he's in prison. It's perfectly drawn, and the meaning of the buffalo headed man.
Yeah, he has that dream where he sees all the dead gods.
Yep,
it's really fantastic. It's equally as good as a TV show, just a totally different medium and a different take on the story. So I recommend checking it out.
Couple big left turns in the show. The first of that being the Matt Sweeney episode, it does cover the Essie Tregaron stuff where she leaves the saucer and milk for the Piskies and stuff, but what did you think about the Laura story? Because she's got a way bigger role.
I really like the Laura story.
Yeah?
Me too, actually. It's a good addition.
And the reason why, in the book, you're just like, what a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
I thought she was the worst in the book.
And why are you getting a job at a gas station?
And then in the movie, or in the show, you're like, oh, she's just getting fucked with by the gods, right?
Yeah,
and you actually kind of feel bad for her.
Well, you find out that, like, in the book, you find out that the gods were like ordained her, like Odin killed her.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you only find that out during the drive with Mr. Road or Mr. Town.
It's like near the end,
or
something. And in the show, I liked. I mean, we talked about how I didn't think it should be two seasons, but
now
that it is,
yeah.
And I get to see what they put into it. I'm glad that they put that in so early, pretty much.
It's, yeah.
So we kind of, it makes sense why she's there. And she's a good addition to the show.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Coming to America stories or the Somewhere in America stories?
I love those stories.
Yeah.
I think they're set up so well, aren't they?
I want more of them.
Absolutely. The one I loved was when they introduce, Jackal
and Ibis.
Great, but not when they introduce
Mr. Jackal
them
and Ibis.
Together, but when it's the Muslim woman that dies in her kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh,
and like she has her heart weighed and stuff, and then that's retold later with Laura.
Yes,
and she gets yanked out of his like. I love how she puts her hand.
That was really good
too.
That added a little bit to the mystery of it. Like the old woman got that because she had been told the stories, and she told the story. She kept it alive.
Yeah, exactly.
And so sort of
and
her
heart was the same weight as a feather, so she was able to move on to the afterlife.
Like that's the whole reason she went to that god.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was like, this is a Muslim home.
Yeah, like
and stuff like that. Why would she go to Jesus?
Why would Laura go to this god? She's never even heard the story.
I thought that too.
And then at the time, like, why? And he makes a little mention because of the manner of your death. And then you find out a couple of episodes later that she's basically killed by the gods and brought into that through that. I'd like that little bit that they added to it.
It's
to
a nice little connective tissue.
Yeah, to like both expand on sort of the Coming to America stuff, the backgrounds of the gods and kind of see all that, but also bring her into the main story a lot more.
You know what I liked? I liked that it's not so Jackal is Anubis. Jackal's the one that's sewing up bodies and stuff like that. Ibis, Mr. Ibis is the one that's writing the stories down, yes. Right? So I loved his, like, he was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. And then Jackal's like, there's two new red beers, go upstairs, and it looks like you need to tell a story. And then he comes up there, and Anubis has to replace the two beers because Ibis is just going nuts.
Yeah.
He's just writing, furiously writing. And I'm like, that is a great touch. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait till they actually get to their
the House on the Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, when they actually get to the funeral home, I really like...
He mentioned something else.
Yeah, I really like that scene in the book. And
oh, for sure, when Shadow shows up at the funeral home? Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
That's where
so
Matt
much...
Sweeney dies, by the way, is at the funeral when Shadow's there. Shadow goes out for a walk. Shadow goes out for a walk, and he sees Matt Sweeney under a bridge. And he meets up with Matt Sweeney, and Matt Sweeney's like, give me the coin. And Shadow's like, I don't have it, I can't.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to Jackal and Ibis, and then the next day, Matt Sweeney's the guy on their table.
Oh.
And they're like, did you know him? And they're like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I knew him.
I don't remember that at all.
They kind of make it seem like he died of a heroin overdose.
Oh,
I remember that.
Under the bridge and stuff?
Yeah, I do remember that.
What else was awesome about... Okay, so...
Bilquis
is well handled.
I love the story about,
her fall.
Her fall, but then like when they show like on the TV the statues and stuff being torn down.
Oh yeah.
By ISIS, like I remember that in real life happening and being so heartbroken.
That was something that was such a great addition because the whole point of the show is like having these icons of worship and belief like powers them, and it's the whole story is like the modern world is supplanting them, and then you take a real world thing where that happens. It was it's a perfect time to be throwing that in there,
and it was done with such taste that, like, to be honest, I not until this moment I was like, oh shit, that's an ISIS thing.
Yeah,
like I didn't realize that until just now.
Yep.
It was done with such, I guess the best way to describe it is reverence. It was done so well that like. You know, it felt natural to the plot and stuff. It's weird. And it also is, you know, that's redoubled when the modern fucking douchey tech kid is like, here, this will unlock your powers and become part of our universe. Gives her the phone.
The technical boy. I liked him, actually.
Oh, my God. Mr. World is my favorite, though. Yeah. Crispin Glover is amazing.
The biggest creeper in the world.
Yeah, he is great. Also, Gillian Anderson, by the way,
she's
get a...
awesome. Oh,
God damn, she is amazing. Her as Marilyn Monroe, as David Bowie, as Lucille Ball.
Yep.
Who does she show up as? Is it Katharine Hepburn? Is that who she is in the Easter episode?
I think so.
Is it Katharine Hepburn?
Or Scarlett O'Hara?
Scarlett O'Hara wore red, didn't she?
I guess so, maybe, but...
It's one of the two. She's either Katharine Hepburn... She's Hollywood royalty, regardless.
Which is such a great
way
to do
it. It's so good to have, like, media portrayed as that, because, of course, we worship celebrities. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of the handling of Jesus?
The best. The best. He wasn't even touched in the book.
He is in the 10th anniversary edition.
Oh, see, that's why. See, I haven't read the 10th anniversary edition.
It's like an appendix. You know how Tolkien did appendixes for Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
It's like an appendix story. And it's Shadow meeting up with Jesus. And he's actually the guy, the main Jesus.
Yeah, it was in the 10th anniversary edition. Neil Gaiman put out a new edition. It was basically like only an ebook, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a full book. Yeah.
Because I remember getting
2010, they put it
on Amazon like daily deals for the like an ebook version, but he added a little more stuff, including a lot of little stories, one of which was Jesus. But the main release of the book, they like
no Jesus
mentioned
him,
and that's
I don't remember. Yeah, but I love that.
There's more whiskey
versions.
Jack than that.
Oh my God! Yeah, it was so good
for real. Like, and it started in the Coming to America with the coyote and the crossing of the border.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a pretty good episode.
Which was a great start because all these people were like being super pious and praying, but it was only the guy that got stuck in the river that him and his family made it because Jesus literally died for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like well, he got shot in the... Well, I know, but yeah. he got... But at the first, like, until the family was all together, he got shot in the face for him.
Yeah.
It was a great little, like, they did it.
Yeah, I mean,
I liked in that episode, they have the name of the bullets.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, like, later in the episode, you see the town. Yeah. And
it was a great
whole,
way to
like,
tie
it
together.
Crazy.
Oh, Vulcan's episode.
Vulcan,
that's, yeah.
That was Vulcan, the beginning of Vulcan's episode. Which had a great ending.
Oh man. Okay, yeah, so that's another thing. Vulcan's entirely inserted into this story.
Yep. Yeah, that wasn't in the book at all.
At all. And it's not it's not in the new edition either. Like, it's not at all.
They're making some big departures, like, in terms of literally what happens, but sort of thematically, it's very similar. I mean, I almost feel like Vulcan sort of...
It helps the story.
It helps, but he kind of took Odin's place in the book. Because Odin is eventually killed in the book.
But we're not even close to that yet.
No,
we're not even close to that.
But events
yet.
Are happening out of order.
Yeah, but they're still technically happening
in order. Maybe it's sort of foreshadowing that going on. I think that the addition of it is either meant to kind of replace that to galvanize the old gods, or it's just sort of to...
Well, it's totally meant for that. It's totally meant to galvanize the old gods. You haven't tried Lucy in the Sky yet. You want
to... Oh, no,
smart?
I haven't. Yeah, I would love to try some.
Before I go anywhere, can we talk about what's coming up for the American Gods? The, thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. The House on the Rock. So everything's leading up to the House on the Rock. And what's great is as that episode was premiering, Rachel was sending me pictures of... She went to the House on the Rock.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she showed me, like, it's... The carousel's real. All that stuff that happens in the book, that's, like, Neil Gaiman must have gone there.
Yeah, he did a road trip of the United States, and that's what inspired him to write the book.
Yeah, and that's part of why I love the book so much, is it is just an American road trip.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm more excited about than that is I really hope that they do the detour in that little town, which is actually, like, I feel like that was about a third of the book. Where he's Odin drops him off in a town.
Oh no, that's Lakeside. That's Lake Town. That's way after this.
Well, I'm just saying that's what I'm more excited about.
Sure, Lake Town.
I'm looking more forward to that. Like that, I feel like that could be half of a season. Him just
in Lake
Town.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. And that was my favorite part of the book. Him just being himself and being in this town. Laying low, and then
collecting money, just getting money,
and then you, and then you find out the mystery of the town, the
lake, and the frozen lake and stuff.
Because while I was reading, I kind of like, how does this really tie into the...
So Rachel was reading it, and she was like, "I love the old man, the town. The old man, the town's the best thing." And I was like, "Finish the book."
It's like in northern Minnesota, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
The Minnesota, Wisconsin, like just that northern belt up there, yeah. Michigan, maybe.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Definitely close to one of the Great Lakes, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, Tyler's looking forward to the Lake Town part of the movie.
I hope the book.
What are you looking forward to?
Well, I kind of am, too. So, I spent some time in my life in South Dakota.
Okay. I've been there once. Twice.
My grandparents...
It's where I got the second degree burns, actually, in South Dakota.
South Dakota. My grandparents had a farm there in a really teeny tiny little farming community, and that lakeside town reminds me a lot of that community.
Okay.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
I'm not looking forward to more set pieces. Like, that's a whole section of the book that you guys are talking about. I'm looking forward to a couple different moments, and one of them happened during the last episode of American Gods. I am Odin. I am Grimnir.
Yeah.
I am called the Grey Wanderer. Like, that was my crows and my ravens are called Húnin and Mugen. And
yeah, that was a pretty good little scene.
I love that scene because he just keeps, like, the camera just keeps revolving and revolving and revolving around the character and stuff. And Ian McShane was, like, born to speak those words.
He's
you know?
So good at that role.
I was looking forward to that. I was looking forward to the checker scene. I was looking forward to the stealing, the robbing at the bank. All of those like iconic moments. What I'm looking forward to now is Anansi bringing the people to order by talking about tiger's balls.
At the
House on the Rock, like stealing the tiger balls and stuff. Like, I hope he tells that story. Obviously, like meeting up with Jacqueline Ibis and being part of the mortuary team. I want to see Shadow watching the interrogation of Wednesday and see him die.
Yeah.
And then I want to see the car scene with Mr. Town and Laura when she hitchhikes with him, and then they end up going their own ways.
So the thing I'm curious about is, I mean, as far as I remember, there's never really a battle.
Yeah, there is. There is.
I mean, there's a little bit of one, but
it's when Easter shows back up in the book.
But it's ended pretty quickly.
Yeah, because no one throws the spear.
Exactly. It's ended pretty quickly. Do you think that they will extend it?
That was such a... They might, but that was such a good scene in the last episode when Odin goes, I dedicate these deaths to Esther or whatever he's... And then I was like...
More... I think it's just kind of more foreshadowing for how the rest of it's going to go.
Yeah.
It is... I don't know. I'm glad this show is going more than a season. As much as I...
It's kind of sweet. The Big Thunder, Big Trouble. It's kind of sweet.
You know what's... Yep. I don't remember what the name of the one I'm drinking is.
Lucy in the Sky.
Lucy in the Sky.
Yeah, it's a different malt profile than Lucille.
I'm going to rate this second out of the three tonight.
Yeah, I'd have to go Fruit Vendor is my fave.
Big Trouble, then, definitely the best.
Lucy is the second, and then Big Trouble is not so thunderous.
That's accurate.
Well, I think that's a good enough place to end.
Yeah, that'll give me time to... throwing us nerding up about Spider-Man.
Yeah. If you know your Marvel movies, then stay tuned after the credits.
For the otherwise, secret special track.
I'm Josh.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Mark.
I'm Adam.
I'm Lisa.
I'm Mark.
And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. Georgetown in the house. There was that awkward part during the podcast where I was like, patience is important, Tyler. And you're like, I don't get it. The fucking second end credit scene is Captain America being like, you know what's important? Patience. And sometimes that's rewarded.
Sometimes it's not rewarded. Yeah.
And sometimes you feel like patience was worthless.
That's the best end credit scene they've ever had.
Totally. So there's an end credit scene that happens at the end of Spider. It's the second one. And it's
but it only pays off because you know what happened. They have it.
Sure.
Once, twice before?
Three times, I think, a lady. What happens is Cap does all of these promotional videos throughout the show that are for kids in school. And at the end, it's obviously him in front of a green screen old Captain America uniform.
It was the one in the gym, talking about physical fitness, and then the one, so you're in detention. Here's what you did wrong.
Exactly. Like an old World War II film. So Spider-Man overall is probably one of the best MCU movies that they've done.
It is very good.
Guardians of the Galaxy is probably the best one.
Yeah. Actually, my brother asked me where I told him I didn't know where it ranked, and so he started listing out movies, and he goes, Guardians? I was like, Guardians is better.
Yeah. Civil War is probably better, but Civil War is better only because of the movies that came before it.
Well, he asked me at Winter Soldier, and I told him it's impossible to compare. Sure. It's a different kind of movie.
John said it was a comedy.
Yeah, Josh asked me, my brother goes, what about Ant-Man? I go, it's better than Ant-Man. You can compare it to that because it's also a comedy.
I don't think it's a comedy.
Spider-Man or Ant-Man?
Spider-Man. I don't know, man.
I think it is.
It has the hallmarks of current Hollywood comedy tropes, but it's not structured as a comedy. It's not even structured as a romantic comedy.
It's a funny movie.
Though. Sure, it's a funny movie. Guardians is a funny movie.
Okay, well, see, that's why
Iron Man is a funny movie.
That's why I could compare it to Guardians.
If Spider-Man Homecoming is a comedy, then Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, and parts of Thor the Dark World are comedies.
Parts of them, yes. But I would almost call Guardians a comedy because it's a funny movie with good, serious moments and a good plot.
You don't get Michael Keaton figuring out Peter Parker is Spider-Man in the back seat of his car while Peter is taking his daughter to Homecoming.
That is the most tense scene Marvel's ever put on.
Have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
I've seen the first entire season and a couple episodes of the second.
So Breaking Bad is, towards the end of the run, Breaking Bad is a heart attack every episode. It's just so tense and so, like, plot-driven, and it's something like, oh, God, I hope he doesn't find out, or oh, God, please let him find out, or, like, something like that, right? Like, you're on the edge of your seat a lot of the times, and it's these really small, nuanced character moments. So the car scene with Michael Keaton figuring out Spider-Man is Peter Parker while he's taking him and his daughter to Homecoming. You're just like, holy fuck, dude.
Oh my god.
And the twist, too, where Toomes is Peter Parker's love interest's dad, and you're just
opens the door, and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Like, I think I said those exact words in the theater.
Yeah.
And like, I leaned right over.
You slapped me a little bit, like, dude! Yeah.
It's a test of patience going to a movie with me.
Yeah.
It really is.
Constantly want to be like, did you see that? Yeah, I fucking did. It's right there. I just saw that.
Couple good moments as far as like Shocker, and Aaron Davis being a part of it with hinting at Miles Morales being his nephew. Let's see what else we got.
That was actually a really good little bit. I was hoping that you actually caught that.
Yeah, for sure. Donald Glover was Aaron Davis.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a weird little thing because he wanted to play Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He didn't.
He never wanted to be like
that. He campaigned to play
Spider-Man. All right.
He did. He was like, I should be Spider-Man. They should do Miles Morales. Not like seriously, but threw it out there. And they ended up being in the movie as the character Miles Morales' uncle. Like the same person with the same name, and mentioned he has a nephew in the city. It was a good little thing they threw in there.
My biggest gripe with Spider-Man Homecoming is the climactic action scene. Now, what about apparently, every Hollywood movie believes that CGI and action scenes work better at night in the rain.
Well, there's no
rain. No, they don't. They don't. There's rain, too. There is too rain. When the building falls down on Spider-Man, although that is a reminiscence of, like, If This Be My Destiny scene.
That was what I was going to bring up. That every single movie where Spider-Man has had moments from the comics, and they did that in this, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole lift in the building thing. Yeah, that's fine. That's great. But I have a problem with, like, you want your audience to be in awe of your action. And some of it's great. The whole climbing of the Washington Monument is amazing. But when you don't know, like, really, I want you to give me point. I can give you point by point what happens when Spider-Man climbs up the Washington Monument. I cannot give you play by play of what happens when Spider-Man's on the jet. Because
it was a little hard to follow.
It's hard to follow, man. Like you have this obscurest.
I could give you the.
I give you the big parts of it.
But I couldn't get you blow by blow because. But for instance, so quick.
I did not know that he was trying to web up the turbine.
Oh, I saw
until the turbine goes out and is like, oh, that was his plan.
Yeah, I saw him throwing his hands out, dude.
Well, I saw him doing that too, but I was just like, maybe he's trying to stop himself or whatever. Like, I know that when he's...
I see the complaint. I see that.
When he's going up the Washington Monument, and he finally goes up to the top, and you see him, you know, do the spider fucking pose and go around it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand every part of that. That makes visual and physical sense.
I see what you're saying.
I do like the homages to other Spider-Man movies. For instance, when he saves... when he saves Liz and he's hanging upside down and Karen goes...
Kiss him.
Kiss her now. Now is a good time to kiss her, and he's hanging upside down and stuff. I do like that they show him actually having to put his feet across his webbing to hold himself on there. I like that. The whole, like, he makes his webbing out of stuff, like, just byproducts of stuff in school. That's great. A lot of those classic Spider-Man tropes are there, and Tom Holland's an amazing actor.
That's part of why I love the movies. There's so many little nods to old school Spider-Man. This is the first Spider-Man movie we got where not only is he in high school, but he's also this like total dweeb.
Not true.
No. We got a little bit
Amazing
of Tobey
Spider-Man
Maguire.
1. No, Amazing no, Spider-Man
no,
1.
No, but he's not a total dweeb.
He is too.
No, here's my gripe with Amazing Spider-Man.
It sucked?
Actually, Amazing Spider-Man 1 was a pretty good movie. But my problem with him is Peter Parker. He can't be this like super handsome, really charming dude who's like this good, like crazy skater boy. I mean, okay, I get it if after he gets these powers and he's got, like, he's really agile and all this shit, then maybe he'll take up skating. Because that actually makes sense. Like, Spider-Man would be a dope skater. And he really would. But, like, that's just...
Mostly because the board would stick to his feet.
Well, that, and he's just super balanced and shit. But, like, that's who he is before he gets his powers, and he gets his powers, and that's just who he is afterwards. It was not a good Peter Parker.
We got four minutes left.
Okay, so Spider-Man Homecoming is dope as hell.
The good stuff.
Everything. Nearly everything. 90%, 95% of the movie.
Villain. Oh, villain is amazing. Good. Villain is not only motivated from the very first scene of the movie.
That's what's
insane. But motivated throughout the movie based on the changing of the plot.
He's one of the first villains I can remember seeing where he's not dependent on the hero's origin. For a Spider-Man movie, I mean. Like, or
for a Spider-Man movie, yes.
Yeah, he's not like something happens that relates to Spider-Man and the he's guy dependent
on.
Out of it.
He's the, actually, he's one of the first fleshed out villains that's dependent on the greater MCU plot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's Loki. Loki's the cause.
He's been operating for 8 years now.
Yeah.
And
totally under the radar.
And we just get it, and their paths just intersect. Which is a great way to do it.
Also, if Peter is 15, that means he was 7 years old when New York happened.
You saw that he's the kid in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, like, he's a very, very young kid when all the shit goes down.
He's not the kid in Iron Man 3. That's a different kid.
Different kid. But I really loved how they did the Vulture. They did not fuck around. It was like, you get the opening scene that
totally describes all of his motivation. All of his motivation is in that scene where they're taking apart the destruction of the Chitauri.
You get motivation and method in two scenes. Motivation, yeah, absolutely. Everything fucked him over, made him basically lose his job, so he needs to find a way to do it. Next scene is, all right, we got a little bit of technology, we're going to use to scavenge scrap and make our way. And isn't
and
it
live
great?
Up to the word vulture.
The vulture,
yeah,
isn't it
scavenger,
great?
Yeah,
the vulture
absolutely.
Is a scavenger. It's incredible.
Yeah,
and he's menacing as hell.
So another good thing, not an overuse of Iron Man. Iron Man has one big moment in the movie, and that's it. He's always relegated to tertiary moments.
I would
moments.
Say it's one and a half. His first time that the suit shows up.
Oh, okay, sure.
It does
but that's
have
not
a,
even him. That's what I mean. Like, well, he's yeah, only got like... Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. has one big moment in the movie.
He's interacting with Peter, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is the one big moment. He's not overused.
Mm-hmm.
It's there as a... Okay, because whole thing, what does Peter Parker want to do? Peter Parker, as a character, wants to...
prove himself to Iron Man.
Well, in the movie, yes. But I mean, like, as general, as character, just save people. Just be a hero. And Tony Stark is there to kind of, like, not quite be a foil to that, but just sort of, like, illustrate that. How he grows as a person. Like, he's trying to catch this dude that he knows is throwing weapons out on the street.
Yeah.
And the times that Tony shows up is all related to Peter trying to stop this person.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he is growing as a hero. And when he finally gets through it and Tony kind of believes in him, the last time he shows up is fantastic.
Yeah. Another thing that I think we should highlight real quick is the AI in the Spider-Man suit.
Oh,
Karen,
I liked it.
Karen is amazing, played by Jennifer Connelly. Her propensity to go to kill mode is funny.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I like the first time, too. You see the eyes go whoop, like they fucking pinprint.
And to... I'm probably wrong about this, but I'm going to say it anyways.
The next suit is the Iron Spider.
Well, no, but I was going to say the what if we talked about. I want to say he has black eyes in that.
Oh, for sure he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's kind of reminding me of that.
The whole thing, one of the hallmarks of Peter Parker, Spider-Man, is he's an island unto himself when it comes to him as a character. He's only able to talk to other superheroes, but as Spider-Man, or like the one or two people that know that he is both Peter Parker and Spider-Man. So
when Ned finds out about him, that is one of the best parts of the movie, is his buddy who knows who he is.
Yeah.
His buddy's the only time his origin is mentioned.
So, yeah.
That's the other good part of the movie. There's no origin story.
No. Yeah, absolutely. There's all of that where he has Ned to bounce the stuff off of, but it's when he's sitting in his hoodie, like laying on his back, like talking to Karen.
Yeah.
That, like, you actually get the motivation of Spider-Man and not, like, the motivation of Peter Parker. You get him lamenting, like, you're really the only person that I've been able to talk to about this at all, ever.
Yeah.
She's there to not only chronologue his time as Spider-Man, but she's also, like, a sounding board for him, and it's a lot of fun to see that aspect of the character. Spider-Man's very much a snarky, like smart-ass character, but to see
that in this.
To see that played off of an AI that I don't know, that has like a different take on things or like a different perspective than him, it's a lot more. It's one of the humanizing moments of Spider-Man.
Now,
I think.
Question: one of the major complaints I've heard about the movie is that. So his suit is a major part of it, the suit provided by Tony. the suit's got what a big part of the movie. Well, not
all the
part,
different kinds of webbing and stuff like that.
A part of
that.
The movie is the training wheels protocol. It locks out a lot of the functions of his suit, and they break it, and he gets access to everything. And that becomes a thing that goes on through the movie. A lot of the complaints I've heard of the movie is like, oh, the movie is just, it's not Peter Parker. It's not regular Spider-Man. It's just Iron Spider. But the more you think about, like, the more I thought about it, I thought about that. But the more I think about it, the core elements of what he wanted to do were just the things he had already invented, which is save people.
Regular web. He wanted regular web. But he had, like, 553 different options for webbing. And it wasn't
and
until...
he makes his own webs. It's not a, it's not a Tony Stark provided design. His goggles are, you know, in the suit.
Based on his own design.
Yeah. Like, everything is Peter Parker design. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, Tony just happened to, you know, fuck with it.
Make it better. Yeah. Like, Tony is like Blizzard Entertainment. Blizzard doesn't make new games. They make games better.
They make the best of any genre they get into.
Exactly. So, for Peter to have his stuff enhanced by Tony Stark, well, I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Final thoughts on Mr. Spider-Man? Before we get into that, we have to mention the opening titles to this Marvel Studios movie.
I think they're updating it every time.
Not every time, but a lot of the times. Like, there's always that. It's that.
Well, it's a new 3D pan out of.
So they started that in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And then they continued it in. What came before Spider-Man this year from Marvel? Guardians, they had the 3D thing as well. But for Spider-Man, normally what they do is they have, like, the character's monologue or the character's theme play over the course of the Marvel Studios logo. For this one, they adapted the old 1960s Spider-Man. Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. They adapted that over the Marvel Studios thing. And then it's totally a thing. Like, it harkens back to the legacy of
the
character.
That was in all the Sam Raimi movies. That was in the Mark Webb movies.
Absolutely, yeah.
Somewhere in there, it showed up in all of them. It's like the one superhero
And to have it preface your story.
You know the only other superhero theme that you could know right off the bat?
Superman.
No, Batman.
Nah, Superman. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. The only other two
is... fucking Indiana Jones, isn't it?
Yeah, that is Indiana Jones.
I could totally do Superman.
Yeah, but you fucked up the first time. Dun, so I think my point stands. The old Tim Burton one. I'm going to maintain that there are two themes to superheroes that
Batman and Spider-Man.
Those are super iconic, and they use the Spider-Man one in the beginning and two or three times through the movie. That it's fantastic. The score is amazing.
Final thoughts on Spider-Man. We have to end.
Very, very, very solid. It's better than I thought it could be, and it's probably the best Spider-Man movie. I really love Spider-Man 2, but I think that this nailed all the things that it possibly needed to. There are complaints, but it's the best Spider-Man movie.
My final thought, and you end the show right after I say this. Aunt May is fine.